things that I would just like to share with us from the Bible. Let's start from Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. There's so many things that we can learn from the life of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, talked about his faith, the faith of Abraham. We've talked about, you know, how Abraham handled his relationships. We saw him with Lot. And there's some silent things that I saw too. And I just want us to look at them this morning. Genesis chapter 25, look at verse 7. It says, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived. 175 years. That's how long Abraham lived. 175. That's a long time. That was a long time. Of course, people used to live to very old age at that time. Although some people still died, you know, at young age. Like, even Abraham's brother died even before their father died. Some of those exceptions. But by and large, a lot of people lived till old age. And one of the things that we must know with old age is we will get to see the results, the labor of our hands. We will get to see a lot of fruits of what we have done in time past, both good and otherwise. Both good and otherwise. And for us to be able to really live long, if I ask us, how many of us want to live long? Everybody wants to live long. It must be that we want to live long and live well. Not just live long for the sake of living long. To live long, live well, and enjoy people around us. It's so good when you grow old and there are people around you supporting you, loving you. It's so much a good life when you do that. Somebody came to my house, a relative, some years back. That was before my mom passed. And she saw her, she went to her room, saw her, greeted her, you know, they exchanged greetings and all of that. And by the time she moved out of her room, she was almost in tears. And this is what she said. She said, I wish my mom could be alive. I wish that she had, you know. I said, what happened? She said, she was just too hard. She was too harsh. She was very cantankerous. That even me, I couldn't live with her. And of course, she's a lady. He said, there was a time we brought my mom to our house. And it got to a point that my husband wanted to leave the house just for his sanity. And of course, she said she knew all of that. She said, my mom will cook and nobody else can eat out of her food. She will cook a meal. And meanwhile, she had a daughter. She had grandchildren. I listened very well. So eventually she had to move out of her daughter's house. The other two or three kids were abroad. So this was the only one that was in Nigeria, married. So eventually, because she couldn't cope, she was so hard that if she enters the sitting room, meeting her son-in-law in the sitting room, Mama would take remote control and change channels. And insist on what she wanted. So eventually, I think they were able to put up 2-bedroom or 3-bedroom flat somewhere, got house help to help, and she just couldn't live well. So if you're going to live well, and live long and live well, there are certain things that we must do. we must ensure about our relationships, especially concerning our children. I saw that Abraham lived to about 175 years. He didn't have Isaac, though he had had Ishmael. But he didn't have Isaac until he was about 100. Now, follow. Isaac married at age 40, which means Abraham was about 140 years. Then he started having, you know, he also had delay, so he didn't have children until 20 years later. So that means Abraham was about 160 years when Esau and Jacob were born. And he still lived for about 15 years, seeing his grandchildren. And it seems as if nothing was mentioned about Abraham and Isaac and the children and the grandchildren. As if the Bible was just silent about that. But I think one of the things that Abraham did was to maintain boundaries with his children and the grandchildren. He knew his place. He knew what to do. So there wasn't trouble. Probably if there were trouble, the Bible would have recorded it for us to learn from. But it seems everything was just quiet, silent. And that's what it is when we have good relationship with our children. It looks as if it's just cool, calm, smooth. No drama. That's what they say, what the Gen Z say now. When they tell you, I don't want drama, they're telling you, I don't want trouble. And they say, that family is full of dramas. That means it's full of troubles, chaos, ups and down. This one fighting that one fighting that one. And the older we get, the better we must handle, we learn to handle our children, our adult children. And to know our boundaries so that we can be in peace and they also can be in peace and we can live long and live well. I saw that and, you know, Bible talked about the time when Isaac's wife was, Bible said she went to consult. Who else would she have consulted? There were no godly people around them. There were no godly other godly people around them. Probably she must have gone to Father Abraham. Oh, I'm having this issue. This and that and that. Bible says she consulted and found out God spoke to her. And that's what Abraham was to his son and to the grandchildren. So I want us to just, you know, look at some things, practical things. Number one, if we're going to live and live well and enjoy our children, and when I say children, it includes their spouses. It includes their spouses, and that's one thing we need to reorientate our minds and get the word of God to affect us. Otherwise, we're going to have problems. In fact, a lot of people are having problems. Somebody came to me sometimes last year and said, I need a mother. I thought she was going to say my mother is late. He said, no, I have a mother, but we don't relate. My mother is too hard. She's too harsh. She's too demanding. She's overbearing. This person is a graduate already working, a professional. I said, can you imagine my mom will still harass me and tell me she's going to slap me? So as much as possible, she didn't want to relate with her. The mother is and she said, everybody knows my mom, including my father. But you know, in Yoruba land, especially somewhere in Egbalehaya, we don't say the truth. We rather say, even among us Christians, we say, it is well. It is well. That's the other side of Afisuru. You know, your Egba people will say Afisuru. When you hear Afisuru, it is, we know the truth, but we can't talk. So, but we have Christianized that. It is well. Even in the well, it is well. Praise God. So we need to. All of us, we can change if you want to change. So I said, when we're talking about our adult children, it also includes their spouse. So by the time all of us say, hey, we want our children to marry, we are saying you are inviting somebody else into your life, into your affairs, into your home, that will come with its problems and possibilities, strength and weaknesses. We must get ready for that. Nobody is perfect, and they are going to come with both good and the other way. But we must learn how to handle, as followers of Christ, as Christian people, we must learn how to handle, what to do. And this should be our mindset. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Give us verse 14. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 14. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 14. All right. Open your Bible. Okay, finally. It says, let all that you do be done with what? Love. Let all that you do be done with love. Be done with patience. Be done with kindness. When you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about what love is. Say, love is patient, love is kind. And all that love is not. It says, let all that you do be done with love. Can you give us the Passion Translation? It says, let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. Love and kindness, let it be the motivation. Let it be the driving force. Let it be what is pushing you. Not selfish motivation. Not what you want to get. Not what pleases you primarily and you can't be bothered whether it pleases any other person or not. It says, let love be your motivation behind all that you do, including relating with your adult children and adult people around you. He said, let love. If we are thinking about love, how can I give my best? How can I help? There will be less room for trouble. If all you are thinking is, how can I be a blessing? And do you know that is contrary to cultural belief down here. The cultural belief is, okay, I'm older, so I'm expecting, I'm demanding attention, demanding love, demanding respect, demanding money, demanding this, demanding that. And I don't care. I can't be bothered. Where it's going to come from? I just must, because that is what is expected. But God wants us to do contrary. Love does not seek its own first, or our own first. See, let love and kindness be the motivation. When you're thinking of, oh, my adult children, how can I help them? Yeah, they speak the languages we don't understand. How can I help them? How can I be of benefit? How can I be an everlasting father, everlasting mother, in quotes, to my children, that I will always be a reference point for their good? Let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. Behind all that you do. You are going to visit them. You are going because of love and kindness. To be a blessing to them. They are still around you. You are looking for ways and means to bless them spiritually, physically, even financially. Yes, they would do for you. They would give to you. But Bible says, a good man. Let's up our game. Let's come up higher. It says a good man leaves inheritance for his children's children. A good man, that's a good man. That means you are looking for, you are not eager to get. You are not eager to pick, that means to take. But you are looking for how to be of benefit, how to be of help to them. And who will not love that? When you are going to your children's, you are visiting them, whether they are married or they are still single, living, so, and you are carrying this, carrying that, looking for how can I? Not one woman that I saw years ago, she came to nurse her grandchildren. That woman was in church then. And I got to know that the sister was just in trouble. So one morning I visited. Around 7:38, I dropped my children in school and I went straight to that sister's house. And I met the mother-in-law eating breakfast at 8 o'clock. But that lady had not had a bath. Her children had not had their bath. Babies. But Mama had had a bath. She had made up her face. And she was enjoying good breakfast. Is that a blessing to them? Is that a blessing? My mom told me she had an aunt that would come to her house to come and help her when she had us, myself and my. Her mama will wake up, her aunt will wake up 5:30 a.m. and go to church because she must observe her morning prayers. Then when she comes back from church, she takes her bath, prepare her food, and she goes to her shop. My mom said she became, you know, upset and she was not happy. So one of the neighbors called the aunt and said, Mama, why would she be upset? You are not helping her. She has a baby in her hand. You go to, I was told though, I was not there. But my mom didn't lie. She said, Mama said, she should go and ask all my sons and their daughters. I don't help anybody to take care of their children. Then why did you go there? Why are you there? Why would you go to be a burden? And the daughter-in-law has to look for how to feed you. That sister that I mentioned said, as soon as the mama notices that stew is, the pot is empty now, she will call the son. Onje is the first only. Ryan Robo, right? Praise God. Let everything be done in words. And loving them also includes forgiving them. Forgiving them when they hurt you. Forgiving their misdemeanors. They are not as wise as you are. They are not as experienced as you are. So your children in love, they will call it children in love. It should actually be children in love. Son in love. Daughter in love. For us, as not just in law, but in love. Forgive them. What your daughter will do that you expect is a mother-in-law to forgive her. You also forgive your daughter-in-law. And overlook. Bible says it's the glory of a man to overlook offenses, not to take offenses. It's a glory. When they insult you, when they do what they should not, but, you know, you are quick to react. It shows that we are not maturing in love. And even if you react and you have realized it, go back and say, oh, mommy, ma binu, there's nothing wrong. It's a mark of honor. If you mess up with your children and you are able to apologize, you are showing them the loving kindness of God to be able to look at them and say, I am sorry the way I talked to you. I am sorry the way I responded. I am sorry the way I reacted. There's nothing wrong if you do that. It will enhance and help us to be able to relate and to relate well with them. So please let everything you get involved with their lives. If you have another children and you are still asking, how are you spending your money? Come and give me a breakdown. For a 30-year-old that is married, having to come and say, this is what I'm earning, mommy. You know, that's no longer parenting. That's overbearing parenting. That's overbearing. When you have to cook for your son and send to him when he's married, that's overbearing. That wife does not know how to cook. He should face the consequence of who he has married. Hello. Today I know a lot of ladies, right from courtship, they are saying, I don't want to cook, I don't want to. And the guy still goes ahead. So whatever they will find, for you not to cook and be fighting that lady for not knowing how to cook. Well, probably if you have a good relationship and she's ready to listen to you, maybe you can teach. But if she's not ready to learn, mind your business. Your son will not die of malnutrition, I can assure you. He's not going to die of malnutrition. He's an adult. Maybe what you should pray for and intercede for is because of the grandchildren. That should be your focus. But my son, you know, especially mothers and sons. And your son will respect you because he doesn't want to be dishonorable. But you are overbearing. You are overbearing. You know, in Yoruba land, culture-wise now, when the son or the husband is yours, when they have children, it's usually the mother or the son or the husband that goes to the house, you know, to help and all of that. I really sit down. Yoruba women will tell you, I don't want to go to in-law's house. Because I don't want to insult. I know my boundary. So they are very careful about that. But can you now imagine the mother of the wife sitting down and chasing away the mother of the husband? Right from the hospital to the house. That's overbearing. That's not knowing your boundary. If your child or your children, if they insult you, you probably work for it. Know your boundary. Don't go to their house and say, kila wan jen nule yi. See, your pantry is empty. Mind your business. They are just starting their lives. It may be empty. When you were coming, what did you bring? Or what are you bringing? Let them live their life. Let them mind their business. Be a blessing to them. Other than talking and querying, since you marry my daughter, or since you marry my son, what are you saying to that girl? Do you think she will be happy? Or what are you saying to that guy? Do you think he will be happy? He would not. So let's learn. Don't be an overbearing person. You must insist on visits. I must come to your house. You know, we used to think that it's just a lack of waiting. English idea that I inform my children before I visit them. It's just for them to be able to get ready and prepare for your coming. Why should you do just busting? When I tell, you know, our children will tell us, mommy wants you to come. I said, tell your husband. I know my boundary. Nobody is chasing me from my husband's house. I love my husband. It's a sacrifice for me to come to you, to your house. I said, tell your husband. And if the husband says no, I stay in my house. And I don't get offended over it. Don't mawaki me. I stay in my house. That's why you must develop your own life and be able to live well on your own, not using your children as crutch for life. Say, tell your husband. Recently, we were thinking of one of them going to visit another. And she talked with her husband, and the husband said, well, I think maybe later. I said, later. He's not, you must. What do you mean? Unnecessary. Don't be an overbearing person. And don't set up your kids against themselves. Whether they're still in your house or out, don't set them against themselves. How do we do that? By comparing and contrasting. That's what Jacob experienced with their father and with their mother. Oh, this one is for me. That one is for you. Which one is not for both of you? You brought them into the world. You are the father, you are the mother. Yes, I know there's tendency for one to really, you flow with the one that is probably gentle, obedience, warm and all of that. But you must find a way of even getting to know that one that is not like them. Because no two kids are the same. No two kids are the same. But to now say this one, don't tell your brother, don't tell your sister. Do you know they will still tell themselves? Even when they tell you that, I don't do it. Even when they tell you that, okay, what do you think the girl will say or the boy will say, okay, mommy. And she will go and take that and say, mommy said I should not tell you. Mommy said I should not tell you. And do you think that one will be feeling? Inferior. What is it that mommy, why? Why would mommy say that? Why is mommy doing that? Don't set them, the one that has strength, praise him, praise her, but not that, why can't you be like your sister? Why can't you be like your brother? She cannot be like that other person because she's unique, she's different. You can correct, you can rebuke without comparing and contrasting. If you have to compare and contrast, use it with the word of God. Bible says you should be excellent. Not that you should be excellent like your sister that is always having A's. I've told you there was one time one of our kids, I rebuked her because of her results. And she ran out of the house that day. She just, all the way from Okelewo down to the house, I think I was just talking. Mothers, God will help us. We talk and talk and talk to the extent that we don't even know what we are saying. Asi soro koja. So I didn't realize. I didn't beat her, but she said, I said a lot of things. And later on, she told me one of the reasons why she ran out of the house that night because I compared her to somebody else. I said, are you sure? I said, mommy, you said that. I didn't want to start arguing. I said, I regretted ever doing that, but that's what made me to just feel. And she told me, said, though you were not happy with my result, but I felt that that was the best I had ever gotten in mathematics. Yes, that's what she told me. She said, yes, that you now focus on that one. And I think I tried that particular time more than previous results. And you now compared me with somebody else. That was like maybe 2, 3, 4 years after she had become more mature than everything. I apologize, though. I said, I can't remember saying that. But I am really, really sorry. She said, mommy, it's over. I don't even want to remember it. I don't know what came over me. Because she left the house. It was somebody, and all the way from the Kobo or somewhere, they went to a friend's house and were looking for her, like for 4 or 5 hours. Until somebody saw her and asked for her name. Say, hey, I know Reverend Tude Amusu. I know some of their leaders in church. Sister Dewey is laughing now. Because that day, it was not funny. Looking for a child. From 3 p.m. till about, I think we found around past 8. But it was because of what she said, that's what I said. And I apologized. I begged. I am sorry. I didn't mean. I said all that so that it will help some of us. Don't compare, don't contrast your mates. And for those of them that are still not measuring up, let me round up all that. Measuring up in the sense that, they are not where we expect them to be or what we expect them to be. Support them with prayers, support them with love, and show them some kindness. Do you think somebody that is 32-year-old, unmarried, do you think she's happy to be in your house? Except she has decided to be single for life. She's not happy. And all around them, they are hearing all kinds of things. Hey, where are you working? When are you marrying? Praise God. They are hearing it. There's pressure. your children should be able to come around you and feel less pressure, less tension. They should be able to come around you and know that I am loved. I am welcomed here. And there's no pressure for me to go and do what I shouldn't do because I want to satisfy people. Yes, they should marry. They will marry. And God will settle them well. Don't put pressure. Don't let it be every time that you have to talk. Kilo Shelley, whom are you dating? Who is it? No. Talk to them. Pray for them. There's one scripture there that I want us to see. You know, Bible, God said to Isaac, give me my iPad. Sorry, sir. 1 minute. God said to Isaac, I don't want to quote it. I want us to read it. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. God said to Isaac this, and this is the heritage of us as believers. If you have been walking with the Lord, and you keep walking with the Lord, you can lay hold on of this. Genesis 26, verse 4. Amen. Thank you, sir. He says, I will make your descendant multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendant all this land, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Look at the next verse. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Because God was not demanding. Of course, everybody is responsible for their lives. But God said, because of Abraham. Concerning David, even when the children were messing up, God said, because that never ceased to be a king because of what David did. So your work with God, trusting God.
Keep talking. Let's give our pastor's offering. Praise God. Talking, let's give our pastors offering. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We bless you. As we give to our pastor today, we receive the blessing accrued to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give our pastors offering. See, keep talking.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
And then choir will come. See, keep talking. All right. Okay.
He said, because.
Choir, come and stand up.
Of yes, Abraham. Sir. So instead of putting pressure on them, put pressure on God. Put pressure on the promises of God. Put pressure on the word of God. And look at your Bible and get those promises and say, this is what you have said. Psalm 128 says, the seed of the righteous shall be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. So instead of putting pressure, you put pressure on God through prayers and trusting him. And before your eyes, you will see things change. Before your eyes, in your lifetime, you will see them coming out. Things happening, the desires of years that you have had for them. You see God bringing them to pass. Because you trust God and not put so much pressure on your adult kids. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Can we lift up our hands and just thank God? Thank God for your adult children. Thank God for your children at this moment. Thank God for those who are still single, for those who are married. Thank God for them. Thank God for their homes, for their children, for their spouses. Thank God for them. Thank God. Thank God. Bible says you will enjoy your children's children. Thank God, because we are living long and living well to the glory of God. And we're going to enjoy. And can we ask God to open our eyes? Is there any way we are missing it? Is there anything that we're doing, that we have been doing, that is causing problems? Oh, you think that child is rebellious, that child is this, that child is that. What is it that you have done or you're doing? Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to open your eyes to see and to be able to make amendments in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, our Father.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? I guess we are really blessed. One of my teachers, Eba Bandri, is my mother-in-law, Mama. She was fighting me before.